Friday postgame show. This week, I'm back with Dan Evans.
Hello.
Thanks, Dan, for coming in. Remember, if we didn't do this, there would be no Friday postgame show. And we feel, since the main show people like to get out early on Friday, we have to give you something.
It's this or nothing.
And so when Malcolm does it, man, it takes a load off. When I do it, so this background, this is my desk. This is all the stuff I have to do in my regular job. And I got to clean up that pile. You can't quite see it. There it is on the left. I got to clean that up and go through that. Those glasses are here and that paper is here. The dirty, oily napkin I should throw out. I have that Trump there. I'm not a MAGA guy, but I have Trump and an American flag. That's the way I roll. But I got all that stuff to do. So it was hard. Plus, at the end of summer, there's not a lot going on in the news that I like. So it was hard to find topics.
In addition to that, just to underscore your point about being busy, I don't have my laptop here in addition to just reading off the stories, but I also have my laptop here because there's legitimate work that I need to also pay attention
to. All right. So can we go to the normal background, if it's possible, the postgame show? I didn't say that to anyone, so probably not. But we can't have this thing there the whole time. It's going to distract me. I have four or five little stories that'll take about a minute, and then we have a topic to talk about with Dan. We're going to get into breaking up the tech monopolies. But first, I was reading this fascinating story how in England, Scotland Yard reviewed 11,000 hours of videotape and did a massive detective effort to find who is responsible for poisoning those two former Russians, Russians in England.
Yes.
And I'm not going to talk about the main point of that story, but I was fascinated that Scotland Yard uses these people who have expert super face recognition capabilities. And there are actually people with this ability that they can recognize a face just by little details. And fortunately, they are able to get employed by British intelligence or any country.
Wait, so it was people doing this, or were they assisted with technology?
They're assisted big time with software and technology.
Yeah,
but they have these super face recognizers. No technology can duplicate their ability to do this. And they can look at the contours of a face on some grainy surveillance footage and match it to some other face and identify it. It's amazing.
Now, the technology is getting really, really good. It's kind of scary. I was reading something about how there is a private company that has I think we may have even done the story on TYT, but there is a private company that is keeping track of all the license plates that are registered in America and keeping track of pictures of when they're parked in parking lots and things like that, and keeping a database of where they are to kind of keep track of people's locations and where they're going over time. So, oh, and they're selling that data to the police, by the way. So that's really fun to look out for. So really, I think we have this kind of idea that security, technology, and investigations just kind of got stuck back when FBI's Most Wanted was a really popular show on whatever network in like 2000s and might be good now, who knows. But no, as these, we'll talk about later, as these tech companies get more technology on their end, they also get that for security purposes and finding people.
Well,
but it's good in this case.
You're right that the technology is amazing and the software is amazing. But what I'm trying to point out is how it's amazing that there are these people with this unique ability to recognize a face. Just like we use dogs in the airport to sniff things, which seems so preposterously archaic.
Yeah.
We still use humans to recognize faces because they have an ability that software hasn't been able to match. So I just thought that was cool.
Assisted with the software, though.
Definitely, in a major way. But it was great work in a couple of months to find the two people who are responsible for those poisonings out of 11,000 hours of video surveillance footage that they went through. Speaking of airports, I read an amusing little study that those airport trays where you go when you go through security and you put your belongings on them, they're loaded with viruses, particularly the ones that give you the common cold.
I'm not surprised by that.
Not surprised
at all,
either. But you know, we all fear bathrooms and different parts of the home and doorknob, but no one, I don't think, as far as I know, anyone was thinking that these trays that millions of people are handling all day long are a source of common cold. So next time you go to the airport, and a lot of times when you fly, you come back and you get sick and you're like, oh, it's because I was sitting in a tin can with 200 other people breathing the same air. No, maybe it's because you've touched that security belongings tray and picked up the virus.
So you should go in with gloves so that gloves. When they have the gloves, it's like a glove party.
Yeah, it's everyone's got gloves. Glove versus glove.
Yeah. Yeah. Take the gloves off. Actually, yes. Don't. I really don't
put
like
the
TSA
on,
like
yeah.
that.
I don't have any Dave's Graves today, but Richard DeVos
womp,
died.
Womp. Oh, I didn't mean that. Wow.
Bad timing.
No.
No, Richard DeVos died. I'm not going to devote a Dave's Graves to him. He's the father-in-law of Betsy DeVos, big-time Republican right-wing funder, founder of Amway. That's how he made his billions. And he died. But his money doesn't die, unfortunately.
Money lives forever.
Yeah. Burt Reynolds also died today. I don't really do celebrity stuff here.
Yeah, that was a really tragic loss, actually.
Yeah, right. And finally, in my little stories, so back in December, Trump moved or declared that he was going to move the U.S. embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And two countries followed him, Guatemala and Paraguay. And just, I think this week, Paraguay got a new president and they reversed it. They're moving their embassy back to Tel Aviv, away from Jerusalem. And they said, because we don't want to cause conflict in the region. So we're down to the U.S. and Guatemala now.
You know what? I think the U.S. and Guatemala have had a wonderful relationship over the past couple years. And this just kind of cements it. No, I mean, the only reason these countries went along with it was because they felt that by aligning themselves with the U.S., they would win favors with Trump. Now people realize that regardless of how many times you speak fondly of Trump and say that he's nice and great, he's still likely to backstab you.
Yeah, so, especially if you're an ally.
Yeah, it's not going to help. And there's no real point into grandstanding against Trump right now. I mean, it's glad that Paraguay is taking a stand because they should have just to begin with. And they shouldn't feel bullied around by the U.S. They should know that there are other countries who currently, for better or for worse, have a better influence than the United States in the global stage that will stand with them.
Yeah. And this is not to get into a discussion of what my opinion is of moving the embassy to Jerusalem. That I'm not that against it. I'm not that for it either. I think Cenk had a very balanced approach to it months ago when he covered it. But yeah, it's amusing that Paraguay reversed its decision. And that's all I have. And now we're going to talk about probably one of the, after global warming and a couple of economy stories, maybe one of the most important things happening
yeah.
in society today.
Yeah, so a couple things. One, if you're watching this or listening to this, please download the Damage Report podcast and No Filter podcast. We work so hard on these, so it would be great. And it's in the TYT app, and it's wonderful, members. You will love it. secondly, let me explain how this is pitched to me. Dave comes up in the morning and says, let's talk about something for the post game. What, Dave? Anything. And so if this seems out of left field, understand that. But there are a lot of topics that we don't get to discuss on the shows I work on just because there's so much going on. And while there's really a lot going on as we're recording this about the Kavanaugh hearings, there are other hearings going on in Washington, D.C. about the tech companies. And in the interest of doing two things that are fun, bad-mouthing things I work for and praising things our competitors. But The Verge is doing this really cool thing called Monopoly Week, where they're looking into the idea of tech companies and how big the monopolies are. The idea that Facebook has had a lot of power over really the network effect. They own WhatsApp and Instagram, which would have been their nearest competitors. We've talked at length at animation at this network about YouTube and their role in censorship and Google and their role in kind of being everything. And so in this same economic climate where you have Amazon and Apple becoming trillion-dollar companies with all these other inequalities going on and these antitrust things on top of that, I think it's a big topic that people are missing.
And so what you're getting at is the premise is that regulators should use anti-monopoly powers, antitrust powers, to break up the big, I hate calling them tech companies. I never liked it. They're internet companies.
Why is that?
They do programming, which is a kind of tech, but tech to me is hardware more.
Apple makes phones.
Yeah, Apple's fine. It's also
Google makes
goods.
Phones now. Microsoft
yeah, okay.
makes Xboxes.
Facebook. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That's a small
regardless.
Using antitrust powers to break up the big so-called tech monopolies like Google, Amazon, Facebook, Uber, and others. So I read the Verge article. It focused on those four, the four I mentioned there.
Yeah.
Do you want to go into each one? Like that article does, or do you have general comments?
I kind of just have general comments because, again, what do you want to talk about?
Right.
Well, let's go.
I mean, let me kick it over to you. to me and to most people, breaking up monopolies is a thing of the past. Not that it has, it's something that should always be done, but it's when big companies like Standard Oil, controlled the entire oil market vertically, horizontally, everything, and it had to be broken up because it was anti-competitive. But they built that up over decades, and it was essential to the functioning of modern society. That oil is energy, and energy is everything. Facebook, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, is a fun little game. It's a joke. It's a thing that you use to send pictures of your family and friends around.
It's something that
connects. Why would somebody care to break that up?
It's something that connects 2 billion people on Earth, and nothing does that save for maybe oxygen.
All right, so it connects.
And so
it doesn't really connect 2 billion people, because you got to select your friends.
Right, but because of the network effect, about 2 billion people are on Facebook right now. That means that, I mean, if you want to take a real world example that's even outside the United States, in South Asia, there have been uprisings and attacks against certain minority groups that have been fueled by Facebook. And so these groups that are against certain minorities, I don't know the details, so I'm being kind of vague here, but these groups that are fighting against a certain minority are spreading fake news through Facebook, even through Facebook Messenger, not even the conventional sharing articles on Facebook, but just through Messenger, to spread fake news, spread times on when they want to attack certain groups or certain places to kind of drive out the smaller population. And I mean, that sounds extreme, but there are parallels to using the network effect and using the internet to spread these kinds of messages out there. Now, coming back to Facebook, why is it that like Mark Zuckerbot, who like looks like he hasn't had a single human emotion since maybe college, like why is he in charge of dictating when it's a free speech issue? Like when he spoke about anti-Semitic content on Facebook, versus when it's an issue of an actual genocide occurring, essentially. Mm-hmm. And when Facebook decided to step in and say something was wrong there. There's an ethical issue, and the fact that that's not in control of the public, when ultimately it's the public that is taking a role of it, it goes back to your Standard and Oil point, where it's something that the modern economy can't run without. We can always go to electricity, we can always go to other forms of fuel, but the fact of the matter is, today, right now, if I want to leave here, I'm gonna have to eventually stop at a mobile Exxon whatever station.
Right.
If I want to talk to people, I'm eventually going to get Facebook.
What's the equivalence with Facebook? Well, that's what you just said. If you're going to talk to people, you eventually have to go to Facebook. I'm not that convinced by that.
Okay, you don't. For most people, I mean, you thankfully are not involved in many of these things. But for most people, if you're not using Facebook, which I'm trying to avoid as much as possible,
From everyone.
No, you use other social media apps. So maybe use Twitter, and that's another company for now. But likely you use Gmail. A lot of places use Google for work. That's a Google thing. You go to Instagram. Oh, that's Facebook. You even want to use like a private messaging app. Like a lot of people use Facebook Messenger, Facebook, WhatsApp, which was an entirely different thing. Bought by Facebook.
Yeah, now look, I'm trying to be a little difficult here because we have to have a discussion, but Facebook is obviously being exploited by, first of all, the whole thing that Russia exploited Facebook to meddle in the US election, that is not subject to dispute. That's actually, it's real. They've done it in the US, they've done it in Western Europe, hate groups are doing it in Asia, all over the world.
Yes.
So Facebook is being exploited due to the power and centralization that it has to propagate those hate messages.
By people other than Russia as well.
Yes. So it's a different rationale for a breakup that, as I read in that article, and as anyone who studied this knows, the typical rationale for doing antitrust is to protect the consumer.
Right.
In the case of Facebook, that's not quite the argument. It's just that it's dominant in its industry. It's buying up all its little competitors like WhatsApp and Instagram.
But the decisions that it makes with those platforms are highly culturally relevant, and that ends up affecting the end user, the consumer.
Sure, and all of society. It's in all of our interests to not have Facebook have so much power.
But not have any, it's not, again, about Facebook. I make fun of, it's a classic moment where Dave's phone goes off. But it's fun to make fun of Zuck, right? But the whole point about the theoretical idea of trust busting, when Republican, also not wonderful person, Theodore Roosevelt did it in the 1900s, And when we're talking about it today in modern context, or when we're talking about it like 40 years ago with AT&T, mm-hmm. when that had to be busted up, it's a concentration of power. And we talk about concentrations of power in politics, in economics, in social life. This is concentration of power in business and concentration of power in technology. And it matters because like this company doesn't exist without these companies. This is a fun conversation because we're really biting the hand that feeds us.
In some ways.
We can do this because of members like you.
That's right.
But go on.
And that's why we do the Friday postgame, should it make members like you happy. But okay, so Facebook to me, and I might be the only one, is the more difficult one. Amazon, Google, no question about it. Amazon is, I don't know if it's the world's dominant retailer at this point. If it isn't, it's well on its way to becoming.
In America and the Western world, I think there are Asian competitors that are a
sure.
little bit bigger.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a dominant player. But, like, it has monopoly power.
And it
power,
has monopoly power. It does drive down prices to run its competitors either out of business or on the verge of out of business so that Amazon can then buy them. The example is Zappos, and there's many others. That's classic monopoly behavior that should be subject to antitrust moves. The thing is, it happens so fast, 20 years in the case of Amazon, from nothing to monster that eats everything. Government doesn't often work that fast, doesn't recognize problems that quickly, and much less find solutions to them. Amazon's also really clever in that the consumers still love it. They're not like jacking up prices as soon as they buy Zappos.com. The prices are still low on Amazon. That's got its other problems, but that's not. So again, protection of the consumer is not the most convincing argument in this case. It's more about their monopolistic corporate behavior. Amazon also has the complication in that they own the backbone of the internet with Amazon Web Services. So either now they're already doing it, or they will soon be leveraging that infrastructure
right.
to favor their own products.
Well, thank you for making my point for me, is that in addition to, well, it's like, look at Amazon. Jeff Bezos has figured out how to make a business out of running other businesses out of businesses by having his entire company run as a loss mm-hmm. and just keep having enough revenue to keep the lights on. But the entire company can be ran as a loss and it works okay because like that's what he's built. And you can look at that in a really capitalist way and go, that's a thing of beauty. That's a good job. And to an extent, I do. But
well, that works because the public and investors put money into it.
Yes, but it's a decent business model. But that's beside the point. The
yeah.
fact is that Amazon, what is Amazon? It's not just a place you go to get things you want or just like impulse buy or prime it. It's also a Netflix competitor. They also sell phones and tablets. They're competing against like what, Apple to an extent? Samsung to an extent.
Sure.
Like you said, they have AWS cloud services. Like again, another thing that this wouldn't exist without that. So you have a company that has all this control. You see how they're behaving in removing consumer choice, consumer competition, which is another thing that antitrust is usually based off of. And so never mind the stuff about Amazon's workers, because then we're getting into a hazy thing of what's the consumer versus what's the worker. And Amazon does egregious things with their workers, as do many of these big companies.
The solutions for that are other solutions.
Yeah, right. But I just want to mention that because that's also out there. Right. But the fact that they're wielding this kind of power and the fact that Amazon has it very concentrated, and you've seen what they've done to competitors, you can definitely make a good argument that it is against what Republicans even argue about having a free market and having competition. Nothing about this is competition for the benefit of the consumer. There will be no chance for a better Amazon to come up or something like that. Or like a better, again, whatever Amazon does. They just bought Whole Foods and now they're trying to go after Trader Joe's.
Well, go back to the core of Amazon. It's impossible for another good online bookseller to come along. No way Amazon would allow that.
Right, but every kind of thing that can become big, they're the biggest company in the world. They can just buy it before it comes a good idea.
Right, right.
And then it's a conglomeration of everything. You can relate it to media, where you had a bunch of media companies before and they all conglomerated to a company.
So you mentioned Republicans. You know, Donald Trump, he's full of hot air and he's ignorant and doesn't know what he's doing, but he speaks against Amazon. I don't know if you
For
know
political that. Purposes,
yeah,
really.
Right.
But like, this is an argument, and this weirds me out the more I read into this, and I'm kind of looking into this for No Filter next week. But Tucker Carlson is weirdly on the progressive side on this. I mean, he moves it into an idea where it's about right-wing pride in the country's ideology or whatever, but really he's talking about the size of Amazon, the influence of these tech companies, as an antitrust issue, like a Teddy Roosevelt-style Republican. Yeah, no. It's like the one reasonable thing I can find about Tucker Carlson, so I'm investigating it because I really don't trust it.
Right. Okay. Good. I think for Google, it's largely the same arguments that we just made for Amazon. Is there anything else about Google that's worth talking about here? Once Google ensnares you and the public into its web of services, you can't get out, and that's monopolistic
and
behavior.
Stones in glass houses, because with all these tech companies, no matter how bad you trash talk of them, eventually one of them is going to hit you. And I don't really like love Apple products a lot, but I have a lot of Google products. So Google is the most thing that touches my life, I guess, in relation to this whole conversation about antitrust. But even with that being said, the kind of reason people trusted Google a little bit more and they got this power that they had is because they branded themselves as the idea of being a company that you're not going to be evil, that you're not going to push the boundaries, that you're going to listen to what people have to say, but they're operating like a business normally would. They're going to do business with China and go through all of their censorship things, even when they said they weren't going to. So even though companies can have kind of a nice light within us, like the fact that they have the power that they wield and they have the incentives to just continue growing as company to profit to their shareholders and continue making better, more powerful technology. Now's the time to not just antitrust, but more broad issues like Elizabeth Warren's accountability thing. That touches tech in this way too. Now's the time to address a lot of these things.
Yeah, there's no question Google and others, they have so much power and influence over society. It's disproportionate to what one it's out of proportion for what one company should the influence one company should have. So sure. And the other company in that article was Uber.
Yeah, that one I don't really. Yes, it's absolutely a monopoly. Yeah. I mean, it's a duopoly because there's Uber and Lyft, and you can make a lot of arguments.
I think there are local versions of those as well.
There are, but the local versions are nowhere near. Or local, as far as an international level, there are. But even Uber's starting to eat those up internationally as well. But that was the less convincing example for me. It's a duopoly. They do a lot of monopoly-like things, especially if you're a taxi cab worker or related to that field. I'm not going to belittle that at all. But I think the much more compelling cases are with Facebook and Amazon, especially when you see just the real-life effects of what these companies are doing and what we're kind of seeing in society. I mean, here's another example, just to go back to Google really fast. Google and Apple are now having to cover their asses because in their next software updates, they're including a bunch of different things for iPhone and Android to cut back on the amount of time you use these devices. Because they know they're addicting, and they realize that the public is realizing it's addicting. And before the public goes, wait, these companies have tweaked and tuned their operating systems to be colorful and flashy and constantly pinging for my information down to where they have focus groups to figure out what will take up more of my time so I can serve ads to them. They have this enormous time space that they're using and they're not really thinking about it in an ethical way that, of course, businesses never do. But the effects are now touching the public and these businesses are trying to play cover your ass before the outrage really hits and the government feels more pressure to actually take action and regulate.
So in your readings, is there actually a meaningful movement at the highest levels of government to begin the process of applying antitrust measures to these companies? Or is it just something that thought leaders are talking about and one or two senators here?
You seem to be surprised to know that maybe the Republicans are not looking to do antitrust and something that involves breaking up tech companies that many of Republicans who are working in government are heavily related to or tied to. So no, it's not really a big idea happening in the high levels of government. And Democrats are going to look at antitrust because they're too corporate and kind of look the other way. But I mean, we keep having elections. We keep reading kind of the tea leaves of politics and what's happening right now. And we see that there is a shift in the country's rhetoric, both on the left and the right, which is why Tucker Carlson can kind of get away with this and still be on Fox primetime, that corporations are not to be trusted, just like big government is not to be trusted. And that's something that you can extrapolate to ideas on the left and on the right. And I think that these tech companies, just every single day, the more people read into it, are causing a grassroots kind of upswell against them.
Well, Republican Especially motivations Twitter. Are not so noble. If there's an election cycle in which Facebook and some other tech giants are exploited to give the Democrats an advantage in winning elections, the Republicans will immediately start looking to break up those tech monopolies.
I don't think it's any change is going to happen on the party level, because it's not that neither side is going to really run on this as an issue except for some people on the extremes, because they're all bought and paid for and they have these lobbyists with these companies. And so it's going to be those people on the extremes, again, not in the levers of power, but influencing people through these same mechanisms that they're criticizing, social media and Facebook and YouTube, and making it so enough people start shifting the conversation to just the same way how you can't fix money in politics by expecting one side to run on it. You have to just replace the people who have the right mindset on it. Eventually, you have to find the people who have that mindset to begin with. And this is the first step. And these, I'm glad that publications are, this is a really controversial thing. I mean, The Verge leads to Comcast if you go down far enough. So the fact they're doing a monopoly week is kind of interesting.
Yeah, and that's so bold.
I'm reading a lot about it. I'm learning a lot about it. Other people are. We'll talk. We'll have conversations. We might click a light bulb for someone. They'll talk. They'll influence someone. One of those people will run for something. And that's how change happens.
Sure, that's fine. And there's nothing wrong with, if you're trying to change something in society, using that very system you're trying to change to your advantage, which Wolfpack trying to get money out of politics by creating a PAC and bringing money in, that's fine. But their goal is still to get money out of politics. There's nothing wrong with that. And if your goal is to advocate for the breakup of the tech giants, and if you spread your word on Facebook, there's nothing wrong with it. Of course, use the tools as they are.
I'm just like pointing it out.
Yeah, okay. So we're all done unless Jacori has this one more photo of our snack cabinet. And if he does, great. And if he doesn't, yeah, there it is. So that's pretty sad. It used to be much better.
In what way was it better? I mean, we have some health. Let me be devil's advocate. We have healthy snacks. These are nutritious. They're not fattening.
No, they're not healthy. They're just not unhealthy.
They're
and
sparse.
There's just not enough of them and not enough variety. That's all I'm saying. It's just a complaint.
You know
and
what really grinds my
like
gears?
Inside baseball.
Okay, I got to make a brief commentary about the snacks here at TYT.
Is Bart.
The snacks are awful, and I'll tell you why, because I'm just going to say it. They're called healthy snacks, but I'm sorry, they're hippie snacks. It's like when I eat a snack, I want to have something that kind of fills me up before I eat a regular meal. These snacks do not take care of that job. These are awful snacks, Dave.
Yeah, right. Look, I'm the one who put the photo in, so I'm with you. Good.
Bart, what are your suggestions for snacks? Put up.
Easy. Doritos.
Doritos fill you before a snack?
Yeah.
That's not filling?
Taco flavored Doritos
are
good.
It's a little late for you, but that's
Rice Krispie treats are
it's
good.
It's not good for you, Bart. You eat too much of that, and it's not good for you.
I know that's not good
for
you.
Okay, as long as you know it.
That's the reason why I like to eat those snacks. It reminds me I'm alive. Same reason why I like to smoke cigarettes. Reminds me I'm alive.
I mean, I'd be down for Pop-Tarts or something.
I'm glad that you're not allowed, under age 13, you're not allowed to be a member of TYT. That is not sounded.
True?
Yeah, that's true. Ah. All right, so thank you to the members for supporting TYT and watching all these shows. Next week, I hope to have the so-called Three Amigos back.
Next week should be Malcolm here. Maybe Steve will join us.
He's
cool.
Sitting 10 feet away right now. But
I wasn't going to break the fourth wall, but there you go.
Steve says hi.
Steve says hi, everyone.
As he's surveilling us. All right, have a good weekend, members.